Now, sometime around the year 26 AD, a strange person, probably not unlike James in appearance, a strange person appeared on the scene. His name was John. And because he baptized people, history has given him the name John the Baptist. Now, just for the sake of all the Baptists who are in the room, okay, he has nothing to do with the founding of the Baptist Church. I've heard that so many times. Boy, we come right from John the Baptist. No, we don't. Okay, don't go there. But because he baptized people, we call him John the Baptist. Now, his father was an aged priest. His name was Zechariah. His mother was an elderly woman named Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, John's mother, was a close relative of Mary, the mother of Jesus. In fact, it was to the home of Elizabeth and Zechariah that Mary went shortly after she heard the news that she would be the mother of the Messiah. And this John the Baptist, of whom we speak this morning, was the baby who leapt in his mother's womb when she heard Mary speak. You want to read the story? It's in Luke chapters 1 and 2. It was around AD 26 that John began his ministry, now a full-grown man. And we are told that this John the Baptist was a strange-looking dude. Matthew says that he wore clothes made out of camel's hair, and he lived in the desert alone, and he liked to eat locusts and wild honey. Anybody want some? They're on the table this morning for you. No. He was a bit antisocial and quite outspoken. The Bible says that John went into the area around the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It means that he started going around from place to place telling people that they needed to be baptized. Now, for the record, the word he used about baptized was to be immersed in water. They needed to go all the way under, like we Baptists usually do it. And they needed to do it as a sign to those who watched that they repented of their sins. Now, repentance means to do this. The Greek word means to do a total turnabout. Okay, to be going in one direction and to turn around and go in the other direction. And the word sins means violations of the moral law of God. It is a specific word here. And what it means is that those who were oblivious to the word of God, who were walking boldly that way and not caring a bit about what the Bible said and how they ought to live their lives, needed to turn around and go in the other direction, listening carefully to what the Bible said. Do you know that there are whole groups of people who don't understand that the Bible is supposed to influence the way we live? No wonder they're doing life the way they're doing it. And what John was saying to people like that is, you folks need to get it right. You need to turn around and listen to what God's word says and live your lives accordingly. The Bible says that John did this to prepare the way for the Messiah's coming. Now, part of the passage that was read to you this morning comes from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 3 to 5. And it talks about the laying of a road. Okay? Now, you've all watched and build roads, right? You've seen it. Okay? You know, when you go down the Pennsylvania Turnpike, do you know that they tried really hard to make that road straight and flat? Okay, they didn't succeed entirely, but they were trying. So, you know, you go through those big cuts where the big rock is, and it says, watch out for falling rock. Okay, if it falls on you, it hurts, but watch out for it. You know, they cut through to make the road level. Okay, there's a couple places where they dug right through the mountain, okay, called a tunnel. Okay, don't breathe tunnel air. you will die. Okay? Okay, you got to hold your breath every time you go through a tunnel. Ask my boys, they know. Mm-hmm. They still do it, in fact. Okay, the whole idea was to make the road straight, smooth, level, okay, because that's the best way to travel. It cuts out all the hard, no potholes. Okay, what John was saying, is it his, what Isaiah was saying, is that before the coming of the Messiah, we need to build a road for him that's like that. Smooth, flat, direct, without obstacle. And his job was to build that road, to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord, to build the path that the Messiah would walk on by preparing the hearts of God's people. Now, I said to you that John was a bit antisocial and quite outspoken. He has me beat, folks. Because when the people started to accept his message and come out to him to be baptized, he said to them, "You brood of vipers." He called the people who were responding to him snakes. I haven't done that yet. Okay, Lois told me the other day that you can win more flies with honey. Okay, I don't think she ever told John the Baptist that. Okay, he said to them, "Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" And then he told them the crucial point of true repentance. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And he warned them that they better not impose on their standing as Jews. See, Jews believed, still believe, that they are special to God. He likes them. They are called his chosen people. Okay? And the understanding back then was because they were God's chosen people and lived in this special relationship with him, and God liked them, they were in with God. He says, "Don't you dare think that." Okay, can I go one step further here? There are some Christians who think that today. We think because we've accepted Jesus Christ, we're in. You say the words and that's the end of it. You don't have to do a blessed thing after that. You just say it and God will take you because he is so anxious to get you. Okay, you know what John the Baptist would say? Think again. Because if you have truly repented, if you were going that way and you turn around and start walking that way, everyone will know. They will see the change in your life. Your life will bear the fruit of repentance. If you've truly repented, your life will show it. But the people, the ordinary people to whom John spoke, were not so sure what he meant by that. So they said to him, "Explain it to us. What will our lives look like if we are truly repentant?" And John said that if the people were truly repentant, they would share what they had with those who were less fortunate than they. So if they had two coats, they'd give one away. If there was extra food on their table, they'd give it to people who had none. John said that they would keep the moral law of God by helping those who were less fortunate than they. And then the Bible says some tax collectors came to him and they said, "Hey, what will our lives look like if we are truly repentant?" And John said that they would not take more taxes than they were required to collect. See, back then, the way the tax collector made his money was by cheating. He told you you owed $5 when you only owed $3, and he pocketed the $2. Okay, and it got worse than that. So he'd tell you owe $10 when in truth you only owed $2, and you better not complain because you'd end up in jail. And what John basically said is if you're truly repentant, your business life will show it because you won't cheat the people who come to you to purchase the service that you offer. You'll keep the moral law. And then some soldiers came to him. And they didn't understand either. So they said, "What will our lives look like if we are truly repentant?" And John told them that if they were truly repentant, they would not use their power and their authority to take advantage of others. See, back then, if a soldier tapped you on the shoulder with the flat of his sword, you were enlisted. You had to do exactly what he told you to do, regardless of what it was. And if you didn't, he had legal right to run the sword through the rest of you and end your life. He didn't want to carry his knapsack on your shoulder. And you had to do it. John said that if you were truly repentant and you were a person who had authority and power over the lives of others, you would not use the power and authority that was entrusted to you to take advantage of others. You would keep the moral law. You're getting this, right? It's not like going over your head. John wanted to prepare people for the coming of the Messiah. So he told them that the way to get ready for Jesus was to repent of their sins. And he makes it clear that repentance is not just words we speak. It's not just saying, I'm sorry. John makes it clear that true repentance issues in fruit, actions that are in keeping with repentance. So now, if you're at the place in your life this morning where you want to prepare for the coming of the Messiah, may come tomorrow, if you want Jesus to enter your heart so that, like James and Nancy, you are ready to go home, should he call you today, hear the word of John and understand that you must repent. And that means that your actions will demonstrate the change in your life, the change which has occurred in your heart, and you will strive to keep the moral law of God. The Bible says that many people took John's message to heart, and that they did indeed repent and showed works to verify their confession. Their confession was rooted in their behavior. They began to struggle to live the moral law of God. Some of them speculated that John might actually be the hoped for Messiah. But John told them that he was not the Messiah, but that the Messiah was coming soon. Now, hear me. Because when John was speaking, the Messiah was on the way to be baptized by him. It was that close. John said, he's coming. And I say to you today, without any doubt in my heart or in my mind, that the Messiah is coming. And that the time to prepare yourself for his arrival is now. And that the way you prepare yourself for the coming Messiah is by repenting and demonstrating the truth of your repentance by seeking to live your life according to the moral law of God. But there was one man, one very powerful man, who would not listen to John. His name was Herod the Tetrarch. Now, just so you understand, there are two Herods, a couple of them actually, but two significant ones who are mentioned in the scripture. One is Herod the Great, who died shortly after Jesus was born. After Herod's death, his kingdom was divided up amongst his children, who all, by the way, like the children of George Foreman, bore their father's name first, Herod. Okay? So Herod the Tetrarch is not Herod the Great, who was alive when Jesus was born, but is Herod the son of Herod the Great. And he was a mean and nasty man, who thought that he could rule by doing all of the things that John just said you had to give up. So he abused the power he had over people. He cheated and lied to get his way to the top. He shared nothing with anybody. He was a truly unrepentant soul. And because he happened to be the ruler over the area around the Jordan where John was preaching, he became John's example of an unrepentant life. I told you, John was a bit antisocial and a little outspoken, and he began to say things about the ruler of the place where he lived that were not appreciated by the ruler of the place where he lived. In particular, he began to criticize Herod the Tetrarch because Herod the Tetrarch had stolen the wife of Herod Philip, his brother, and was living with her openly as his own wife right then. And John kept saying, this is morally corrupt. It is wrong. It's one of the things he does which is wrong. And Herod the Tetrarch came to the conclusion that the solution to his problem was simple. He needed to stop the mouth of his critic. He had no intention of listening to the message. There was no intention of repentance. He didn't care about anything except shutting up the guy who was telling him the truth. You know there are an awful lot of people who are around today who want to do exactly the same thing. They don't want to hear the message of the scripture. They don't want to hear God saying, if you want to prepare your heart for me, you need to repent. They just think if they can ignore it, if they stay away from church, if they don't ever open the Bible, if they don't listen to it, they can just get away with living life the way they're living life. Herod was so convinced that the solution to the problem was to shut up the preacher that he put John in prison. Eventually, he cut off his head. He would not accept the message. Herod refused to repent. He would not prepare for the coming of the Lord. He thought if he could just shut John up. But it did not work. For the Messiah did indeed come, just as John said. And Herod was totally unprepared for his coming. You know what? It won't work for you either. You can try to ignore the Word of God, but you can't. Jesus is coming. And the way to be ready for His coming is to repent and to bear the fruits of repentance. Jesus is coming.